Indeed, Holy God, we have come before you as we sit under the instruction of your word. We pray that you will help us to see our hearts in light of your truth, to see how you have loved us with an everlasting love, Lord, and to see how you, God, calls us to yourself. This morning, I pray for every heart here, including mine, Lord, and I ask that you will help us to see in your word your truth, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are sharing again from Hosea 1. And last week, by God's grace, Pastor Sam shared with us beautifully from God's word. He gave us a very good overview of what is going on in the book of Hosea. God's people had become promiscuous. They had become a people of whoredom. And in our time and age, sometimes you want to euphemize these words. You don't want to say it as it is. The Bible says it as it is, so we will say it as it is. Amen. Amen. The Lord used the word whoredom. The people had become a people of whoredom and were prostituting themselves with other gods. They had allowed the Lord's blessings to ensnare them. And they had gotten so far off in idolatry that they were calling God, the Lord God, their Baal. To tell you how low they had come, they were now describing the Lord God who redeemed them out of Egypt and brought them to himself, their Baal. And so God calls Hosea and gives him his word. And he doesn't just tell him to proclaim the word. He wants him to embody the word that he's going to proclaim. And so the Lord tells Hosea, he instructs him, go and marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. Marry this woman who would constantly break your heart, who would constantly not just look at other men, but would actually go in and lie with other men. This is the instruction the Lord gives to Hosea. And Hosea obeys the Lord, and so he goes to marry an adulterous wife. The Lord says that he calls Hosea to do this for him to also experience what he, the Lord, feels at the hands of the Israelites, the people that he had redeemed and called his own people, called his bride. And so Hosea obeys the Lord and marries Gomer, a promiscuous woman, and they had children in their names. And their names were being prophetic. The first one, Jezreel, and which means punishment. The second one, Loruhama, not loved. The third, Lo-Amin, not my people. Some Bible commentators have actually said that the two last children were not Hosea's. Some people say that. And so, hence, not my people, not loved. Rightly so. It's not spelled out clearly, but they argue for it. Of course, she's a promiscuous woman. We are not surprised. But then right after the Lord pronounces these judgments, it's interesting. You see, the Lord pronounces judgment to a people of whoredom, and immediately he says that yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore. He's referencing a promise he made to the ancestor, Abraham. He says that they cannot be measured in the place that it was said to them. You are not my people. They will be called children of the living God. You have just said these people are not your people, and you are saying that they will be called children of the living God. The Lord's love indeed is beyond comprehension. In this book, we see a God who loves his promiscuous bride and woos them back. He woos them back and promises restoration. We see the Lord who has covenanted his love to his people, a love that is steadfast. Israel continues in whoredom, yet the Lord's love towards them is steadfast and unwavering. The Lord shows them love that is beyond comprehension. And with this seriousness of sin, the most serious sin in any marriage is the sin of unfaithfulness. And Israel commits this to the Lord. The Lord will be just to just wipe them away. And yet the Lord calls them back to himself. He remembers his promise to the ancestor, and he recounts it and calls them back to himself. Pastor Sam laid a very beautiful foundation for us. I'm not going to go into that. This morning, my call is for us to examine our hearts in light of the whoredom that Israel demonstrates, and how we, as Christians in this time and age, also whore ourselves out and flirt with idols. These idols that are not just physical idols, but then idols in our hearts. I just want us to do this and take time this morning to reflect on that. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible says, "The son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I inquire them of them at all?" God is saying that you and I, our hearts, the human hearts, can turn good gifts into the ultimate. God is saying that he gives us good things, things like our career, things like a thriving business, things like our families, our children, the material possessions, even the ministry the Lord gives us. And he's saying that we can turn them into idols. We can turn them into the ultimate. If we begin to look to these things for ultimate satisfaction, they begin to turn into idols. Tim Keller says that our hearts deify these things as the center of our lives because we think they can give us security, significance, fulfillment if we attain them. Israel in Hosea's day made idols for themselves from the silver that the Lord has given to them. The Lord blessed their fruits and they increased. And then after the Lord blessed them, they built more altars as their land prospered and adorned their sacred stones. And so the Lord blessed them and then they built altars. When you look at 2 Kings in the time of Hosea, Israel was prospering. Politically, they were stable. And then they were also prospering economically. The Lord has blessed them and then they were prostituting themselves with the blessings the Lord has given them to other gods. And as I said, in our time and age, we may not bow to physical idols, but then in our hearts, there are idols. We have made idols of the good things that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm not going to spend too much time. It's really warm here. And so I'm going to preach a very short sermon. If you want me to keep going, I can keep going. But then I'm not going to spend more time. It's just for us to really reflect on the things that we have in our hearts made idols. For us as adults here, as I said, it could be our family, it could be our children, it could be making money. Oh, if I can make money like Ibrahim Mahama and buy the latest jet, I will be respected. I will then be relevant in society. We can make achievement, self-acclaim, trying to save face and social standing idols in our hearts. For the much younger folks, the youth among us, it can be a romantic relationship. You want to do anything to keep that relationship going, even if it means breaking the law of the Lord. It can be peer approval. I want to look cool among my friends so that I am considered important too. It can be my competence, my education, my skills. Even the idea of security, the idea of comfort, my beauty, my brains, even my morality and my virtue and success in Christianity can become idols that we worship in our hearts. I dare say that even the school you attended in Ghana can become an idol that you worship. And this morning, as I stand here to preach, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself as well because I know that my heart can also be a manufacturing plant of idols. So as your heart. And I wouldn't pretend that I am free from idols of the heart. We deal with the idea of if I could have money, if I could have investments working for me, then my future is secured. True or false? Yes. So I can then keep my eyes off the Lord and begin to now look at what it is I am putting in place to secure my future, rather than thinking and knowing that the Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, is the one who holds my future in his hands. And so putting my security in physical things, putting my security in the things that the Lord has blessed me with, can become a snare unto me. Sometimes I deceive myself and say that, oh, if I can even make more money, I can help people. Our hearts can be so deceptive. I can give more to church. And even the giving to church can become an idol that we seek fulfillment from the fact that we can help people, we can give to church, we can, in quotes, advance the Lord's kingdom. Why am I doing these things? Why am I giving to church? So the privilege of God making me a conduit to whom the Lord's people are blessed can become something that competes with God in my heart. And these are things that we are looking at this morning. The truth that we can't run away from is that these idols would never satisfy. These idols would actually crush us if we keep looking to them. If we don't look to the Lord God alone and we keep looking to these idols, they will crush us. Just like the Lord told the Israelites, these idols will crush you. Threshing floors and wine presses will not feed my people. Their new wine will fail them, in chapter 9, verse 2. Yet we have this loving Father, this loving God, who is always bidding us to come back to himself. He says, chapter 14, return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. The Lord calls us to himself. The Lord gives us this opportunity to return to himself. And I don't want us to take these idols lightly, because God is God, and we need to tremble at him. If we look at the kind of punishment he gives out of his love to Israel, we would realize that we do not need to excuse our idols at all. We need to come to him in a life of daily repentance and faith in him, turning from our idols and turning to the Lord and asking him to help us to renounce these idols in our hearts. We need to ask the Lord to help us to uncover these idols that are deeply rooted in our hearts. And so this morning, I just want to ask yourself, you know yourself better than I do, that you ask yourself that the Lord would uncover these idols in your heart. We tend to give excuses, but then it's only the Lord who can uncover these idols in our hearts. Our aim as people of God should be to look to the Lord to help us delight in him and to help us set our affections on him. Paul invites us in Romans 12:1 to not conform to the standards of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. As we behold Christ in his word, we become like him. We desire what he desires, and our affections are set on him. James also warns us in James 4:4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so we are crying to the Lord and asking him for help, that we may turn our hearts from idols, that these things do not compete with God in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Please let us pray. You know yourself better than I do. You know yourself better than anyone else does here. I just want you to come to the Lord and ask him, Father, please uncover the idols in my heart. The things that I put side by side you in my heart. The things that I look to for the satisfaction that only you can give. The blessings you have given that I am making the ultimate in my life, please help me uncover these things. If you don't do it, no one else can. Please help me. Please help me, Lord. Please help me. We can come because we know we have a God who loves, a God who draws us to himself, a God whose covenant love for us is steadfast and unwavering. Some people have thought that the story of Hosea is not real. And one man boy says something. He says that if the story of Hosea cannot be real because God could not ask a man to marry an unfaithful woman, then neither can the story of salvation be real, because that is precisely what Christ has done for us. Inasmuch as we continue in this whoredom, the Lord calls us to himself. He wants us to return to him. And so please let us pray and ask that the Lord will help us to walk in daily repentance of faith, that as we grow in our walk with him, he will continue to point out these idols in our hearts, that we would surrender and renounce these idols in our daily walk with him. Please pray. Please help me. Let us walk. Father, help us. Lord, please help us. Help us to not make these blessings you've given us the ultimate. Help us not to make these pursuits the ultimate. Help us, Lord, not to make comfort the ultimate, not to make our career, not to define success in our own terms. Success is hearing good and faithful servant. Welcome into my rest. Help us to keep our focus on Christ. Please, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.